days on the web. I'm surprised people don't do that.
GNSO working session, Sunday, October 12th, 2014. This is the discussion with the CEO, Fadi Shahade, from 10:30 to 11:15 in the Constellation Room.
Thank you. right.
How are you?
Ready for us to put you on the spot, non-com, and bring the CS. You've got the group coming here to see you. Okay. We're going to ask you one way or another.
You can get some coffee. I can assure you.
Okay.
All right, if I could call the room to order, please, if you could take your seats, continue conversations outside, please, and we'll get on with our next session.
An abrupt transition. We can go
out. Shh, can we call the meeting to order, please?
I'll take the list.
Thank you. Thanks very much. So we now move on to the next session this morning. As said a moment ago, we've been through an update and discussion with the Global Domains Division, discussion with Theresa Swinehart and the various areas of activity in the Strategic Initiative Department. And now it's an opportunity to welcome Fadi Chahari to join us and talk through some of the points that were raised yesterday. It's always a pleasure to have you here, Fadi, so thank you very much for coming and joining us. We've got a relatively full house, especially for a Sunday morning. So I wonder how we should take this. I mean, we've given you a series of topics. They're kind of talking points, really, that came up yesterday, various concerns, thoughts, issues. Would you be willing to just walk through those, Fadi? And I don't know if there's any other remarks you'd like to make ahead of that, but... perhaps, if you're so willing, that would be a way to do it.
Okay. Good morning to all of you, to my hometown. It's good to be home. It's my first ICANN meeting where I get to go sleep in my bed, and it feels very good, really. It's very special. It's not always cloudy in LA, in case you think that's the case, but because we have an unusually warm season, and the ocean is very cold in California, despite the movies you see. It's very hard to swim in LA, very cold. So we have these mornings that are very cloudy, but it'll get sunny later, so don't despair. The California sun will come out. I'm delighted to be with you. I will just share with you a couple of sincere comments on how I feel. Frankly, I was telling some folks earlier, this is the best I've felt at ICANN since I started, personally. I feel finally that I'm coming to a point where I'm understanding better how to serve the community. So I feel very, very good about this meeting. I'm very confident that we will have a good meeting and that you will find us to be more attuned to all the things we need to do together. It is also clearly a time when we're celebrating our maturity as an organization. This is the very first time the Secretary of the United States Commerce Department will be at an ICANN meeting in the history of ICANN. She will be opening the meeting on Monday morning. And I think that's a good thing because Penny is coming to basically tell the world that the U.S. government is confident that ICANN is ready to move forward. And that's a good message coming from her to all of us and to the world from the podium of our opening tomorrow. Now, of course, we thank Penny for saying that. Now we need to all be together in that journey, kind of a post-US transition mode. And you know that there's a lot that we still need to do. ICANN still has a ways to go to achieve operational excellence, to achieve full maturity and accountability. But so long as we're together and we're committed to do that, we'll get there. Now, on the together part, this is my second comment and only other one, then I'll dig right into your questions. I must tell you that we had a boiling point on the together part in Istanbul. I think it became very clear to me that I had miscalculated how far I got ahead of the community. Many of you had made that clear to me, but the boiling point happened in Istanbul. Some of you were there with me. And it became very clear that if the distance between what we're trying to achieve at a staff level and the community gets... First of all, there should be no distance. But if the distance is wide, it's a problem. And it's a serious problem of positioning of our role versus the role of the stakeholders. So I want to thank those of you who have contributed to alerting me to that. We stepped back, we stood down, we understood where the community should lead and where we should support. And I think the result is in the actions we're taking, not just the words we're saying. So as you saw, we accepted the request for additional time for the community to give us feedback. We heard the feedback. We responded with a new process for the accountability that maps to what the community is more comfortable with, and that's how it should be. So for me personally, as the president of ICANN, this was a lesson learned and a lesson that I won't forget as we move forward. It does not mean we stop doing anything. Of course, we have to keep working. But the principle must be and will be, from my personal perspective, that, frankly, it doesn't matter how much we get done. What really matters is how much the community is in every action we take. And you have my commitment to that. And I wanted to convey to you this personally this morning, that I'm very committed to that. And hopefully we won't get to that boiling point we got to due to this distance that grew between us. So moving forward calmly and confidently together is what we need to do now in the months and years ahead, I hope, as we build this. Now, you have some very specific questions that you sent, so let me read them. I presume everyone saw these questions?
Let me help you a little there. The way in which we did this was we had a discussion session and a number of sort of issues and questions were being thrown up, and you've got them as a summary there. We can put them up on the slides if helpful. But in the end, they sort of boil down to three different areas, which are loosely categorized around concerns in and around how the extent of focus on the operational excellence component. A couple that I sort of put as business management issues to try and categorize them. And then finally, and this was quite an important area, this whole an update on the global stakeholder initiatives and how those work. So I think they, to my mind, they're sort of discussion points that you might want to make remarks on the various of them, and then it may prompt follow-up or additional questions. Thanks.
Okay. First, your first set of questions is all centering around our focus, our prioritization of operational excellence, how we operate ICANN. Needless to say, I'm the first CEO of ICANN that actually works at the main office of ICANN. My predecessors did not work in the Los Angeles office of ICANN. So I'm the first one close to my team, close to my day-to-day operations. It is true that in the last 12 months, specifically, since the Montevideo statement, I have dedicated a chunk of my time to the issues related to global internet governance. It is equally true that in June of this year, the board specifically asked me to scale back my involvement in these activities and to start transitioning a lot of that to other fora. And I'm in the process of doing this. My commitment to the board is that by late this year, early next year, much of the global internet governance issues that we have taken some leadership on in the last 12 months will be transitioned elsewhere so that I can dedicate more of my time, as I should, to ICANN's operational excellence. I think at this point, I am back into much more of an 80-20 as it should be. So whilst it is very easy to move into external activities, I'm now back into an 80% focus on internal operational issues and 20% external. And it frankly feels very good because this is where my background is and my strength is. I'm neither a diplomat or a politician. By background, I've run companies. I've run large and small companies. So I'm much more comfortable in this role, and I'm happy to be back in it. In terms of the state of our affairs in operational excellence, I think given the growth we've experienced in the G program, we have done well. But we still have, in my opinion, we still have a distance to go. We're not quite there. I'll give you an example. Any organization our size should have a pretty clear set of key performance indicators that are tracked and managed. We didn't. So we kind of reacted to whatever was needed at the time. So now, with the new strategy that you all helped us build, which the board will sign and approve at the public session on Thursday, we have also built behind it a full 5-year operating plan, which has never been done at ICANN. That 5-year operating plan will be published for all of you to help me. You know, I need your comments and input on it. I think we will publish it immediately after the LA meeting. We didn't want to publish something for comment when we arrived here, so we will publish it immediately after. That 5-year plan, for the first time, lists for each of the 16 goals of ICANN the portfolios of work, the risks around each of these portfolios, the dependencies. It shows for the first time a phasing of these portfolios, which means what are we going to get done in this goal next year, the year after. So for the next 5 years, we have a kind of a view of key milestones. We have put for the first time a financial plan. So we will show you our view of forecasts of revenues, of costs over the next 5 years. We also introduce for the first time a planning calendar. And we introduce... In the 5-year operating plan, we'll introduce key performance indicators for each of the 16 goals. This has never been done before. So this will all be published in a week, and I encourage you all, I beg you all to give me input, because this is your plan. This is the 5-year operating plan of our community. We're suggesting to you so you can give us feedback on it. Now, once that is done and we get your feedback and the board approves it, we will start year after year then building the 1-year operating plan budget based on that. So now we have an actual anchor, or at least framework, that we all agree on, and we build the yearly plans around. Now, all the KPIs at the goal level and later at the portfolio level will be put into dashboards. So I can start, frankly, managing the operations of ICANN according to clear dashboards with clear performance indicators that will be transparent and public. All of you will see them. And I want to make sure these are the KPIs you want me to manage to. So please look at these things and give me input and insight, because I'm instilling a full business intelligence system and discipline within ICANN so we can report on these KPIs publicly to you and measure our performance based on what the community needs. So I think I touched enough on, and happy to take questions on operational excellence. I think the next area you asked me about is what is generally bucketed under business management. For example, there's concern over the 2016 budget assumptions on revenue. I agree with you. So I looked, if you remember, the first run of the 2016 budget had very high revenues. And we were we put it out to the board, and then, frankly, we did further analysis, and we said it's very high. And some of you came to me privately and said, we think these assumptions are wrong. So we revised all the assumptions. We brought down the revenue line to 104 and from 114 to 104. And then I proceeded to cut $10 million out of the budget to match that. This was not easy. So, for example, we froze employment through the end of this year. We did a bunch of things to scale down expenses to match the revenue reduction. I also have now put a contingency plan if I start getting signals that even the 104 is not feasible. So for the first time, I have an internal revenue tracking meeting where I basically need to understand what we think is coming before we spend any money. So I will announce Monday morning that we are also putting a cap on expense growth for the next 4 years. We're capping it at CPI 3-5%, and that any additional spending has to come through community approval of new initiatives. So we're putting serious fiscal responsibility and organizational responsibility measures to cap the growth of ICANN and to make sure that any growth... many of you have commented, for example, on Net Mundial. You felt that Net Mundial was a good idea, everyone supported it, fine. But has this been done with full view of everyone's agreement on how much we will spend on it, how it will impact my time, how it will impact our staff's time? Quite frankly, I will admit to you, no. So the board saw and gave me the green light, but no more. I am very committed that from now on we introduce a new initiative like Net Mundial. I was just with ALAC, and I can say it because Cheryl and others are here, and I told them, great stuff you're doing. They're organizing a massive effort, as they should, because I think they're right, to understand how they take the Atlas II recommendations to action. But I told them, as they come back to me with the program, I'm not going to just bankroll it. I have to take it through a process where the whole community says, this is what at large would like to do. Is this what we should do? This is the impact it will have fiscally. This is the impact it will have organizationally. This is the value it will bring to various communities. Do we want to do it or not? And if you give me the green light, I will do it. If you don't, I shouldn't do it. So these are important, I would call them, frankly, maybe I will pin it on me, maybe, you know, me maturing and understanding how this community should operate and function. And I'm committed to that, and I will be announcing these changes in the approach tomorrow morning in the opening. Yeah. It is very dangerous. Sorry, the second bullet you gave me here is discussion on allocation of resources and focus of senior staff, because part of the resources is our time and effort outside of ICANN's primary remit. Look, I must say a lot of folks correctly should worry and remain very vigilant to see if ICANN is stepping outside of its remit. We don't want to step outside of our remit. We really don't. I have no interest in it. Staff is absolutely overwhelmed with our remit, much less more than our remit. We are working extremely hard to keep things where they should be. And the flattening of our expense growth and staff growth is designed to make sure that we don't get to a point where we are just, you know, you have people, you have a lot of resources, you do things. We don't want to go there. The area where we stepped, where there's a perception we stepped outside of remit, is the work we did in the last 12 months as it relates to internet governance. And I think that's where most people are focusing when they say you step outside of remit. It's a difference of opinion. You know, my view is that we protect ourselves by ensuring that the ecosystem supports multi-stakeholder internet governance. And in fact, it is helping us immensely. It's helping us in Busan. It's going to help us at the General Assembly. It's helping us around the world because people are now seeing the multi-stakeholder model as a viable model. That's good. That helps ICANN. Having said that, I've heard you loud and clear, and I've heard my board loud and clear. We need to reduce our involvement in these activities. I'm less and less involved in them. Tarek Kamel is more and more involved in them. That's his job, to protect ICANN in these four. That's what he should be doing. I should be focused more on our business and our remit. So you have my commitment to do that. So I hope this clarifies the focus moving forward.
Yeah, Fadi, and if I could just make one very, very brief remark. I think that the sense is that perhaps, is, if I may, that they are sort of aligned in the sense that if we, there's the big picture, the outside, the internet governance focus, but we also defend and protect ourselves through operational excellence, through allocation of resources to that. And so that's, I think that's the sort of balance that's being focused on here, and that's what's really being teased out, I suppose, by these points. So, but I mean, I don't mean to make you go over the ground you've already gone over, just to highlight that. Yeah. That.
No, but I agree with you. If we do a very good job telling the world that the multi-stakeholder model works, but then ICANN doesn't work, we're nowhere. So I'm clear on that. And so I agree with you. These two things are deeply connected. And in fact, even people who deeply care about the multi-stakeholder model and its success and who are focused on that tell us that if ICANN falters, the whole model falters, because we are still, for good or bad, we are a reference model. People look at us and say, this is a multi-stakeholder organization that is doing work. So we absolutely, our excellence and our focus on what we do, which, as I said, is my natural place and where I'm more comfortable, I'm very happy that my focus has shifted. My staff in LA, Istanbul, and Singapore may not be as happy, because I'm now very much applying all my energy and my focus on internal operational excellence. I'm just kidding there. I think they're happy, but I'm putting a lot more time on that. I'm very engaged internally, and I think this will bear fruit for all of us, hopefully in good ways. I want to just, the registry group had submitted to us a list of areas where we can operationally improve, if you remember. And I welcome that very much. I understand the scorecard is looking better. We have a scorecard around your recommendations, and Akram and his team will be briefing you at this meeting a number of times on how we're doing on these things. I'm keeping an eye on these things, and I want to make sure these things end up in our KPIs so that we continue managing them as we move forward. So this last area is a little bit more broad. I just want to make sure I understand. Update on our global stakeholder initiatives. Is this about what is ICANN and ICANN community role, global strategy? Maybe some clarity on what I can help with here.
Fadi, I think that I'd welcome any other comments if anyone would, if I don't represent this effectively. But really, there was a desire to understand. You know, we've had this year of tremendous activity in and around various global stakeholder initiatives and the Net Mundial and all that's gone on in the past 12 months, and really trying to understand how, looking forward, what the strategy for that might be in the 12 months ahead, how the ICANN community fits into that, what's the post-Net Mundial and so-called Net Mundial initiative, how those and what's going on with liaison with individual governments. So those were sort of questions that came up in and around this set of global stakeholder initiatives going forward. So I hope that's
sure. Clear. So this is a question really about internet governance in a way, and I had promised myself we will do very, very little internet governance in ICANN 51, but I'll answer the question. We should keep, frankly, all of us ICANN 51 about us, about our remit, about getting ready for the post-USG transition, you know, building our stress tests, doing all the things we need to do to really perform our function. Having said that, just a quick heads up on that. If you recall, the board had very specifically asked me to start transitioning the efforts we put over the last 12 months so that there is no conflation between ICANN's remit and ICANN's focus on its role in this area and the global dialogue about internet governance and how it should be ahead of the General Assembly 2015. Now, key here is to remember, General Assembly 2015, which starts in September 2015 through December 2015, is an extremely, extremely important macro thing in the space of internet governance. This is when WSIS will be reviewed. This is when the role of the ITU will come to some clarity. This is when IGF will either be renewed or not. All of this is happening in that window. Good or bad, that it coincides with the potential window of transition from the U.S. government. So there are some big things happening around that time. Now, between now and then, ICANN's focus should largely be in the space to continue strengthening who we are, our maturity, and the delivery of our remit. That should be our number one priority. What is happening on the outside is that we are helping and contributing in continuing what happened in Net Mundial in Sao Paulo to ensure that the multi-stakeholder model continues to be front and center as a solution for the issues that the world will be discussing in the General Assembly 2015. However, that cannot happen here. It cannot happen at an ICANN meeting. It cannot happen through ICANN's activities. It needs to happen in broader areas. We can participate in these other areas, but not in our home, not here. This should be focused on our remit. And that's what we're doing. So the Net Mundial Initiative, which was announced in August, will continue to bubble forward. I think I can share with you quite openly that there have been some negative comments about the World Economic Forum as a home for this. So the Brazilian CGI, the folks that manage the multi-stakeholder model in Brazil, and ICANN and the WEF will be meeting, in fact, here tomorrow to just see how do we better position the initiative moving forward. And it seems like CGI will come and help us a little bit, so it's less the World Economic Forum and more maybe a broader coalition of people pushing it forward. Now, the forum may want to have its own internal forum initiative. That's up to them. They can do whatever they want. And I think, frankly, between us, it's a good thing if the forum has the dialogue amongst its decision makers. It doesn't hurt us to have decision makers discussing a multi-stakeholder model. But that's different from taking something that many of us right now regard as a huge success of the multi-stakeholder community in Sao Paulo and handing it to any one party, especially a party that may not be, you know, as disposed to the models that we are comfortable with. So again, we heard this clearly and we are addressing this. And I think there may be announcements later this month as to how this will evolve going forward. But just to conclude on this, again, ICANN's involvement in this needs to be sized, needs to be clear, needs to be minimized. We need to be transparent about it. And as this becomes clear, you have my assurance this will be the case. But we're just not there yet. We're kind of trying to shape this as we go. Is this helpful?
Yeah. Thank you, Fadi. I think it's a very comprehensive set of answers to those points. I think it'd be a great opportunity to see if anyone has got any add-ons or questions or comments relating to all of this that's gone on before. Marilyn?
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. Welcome, Fadi. I think you... I really want to thank you for the clarity of your comments about recognizing the distress and concern in the community and both you and the board taking that seriously. I will just say I think it's incredibly important that you're taking it seriously. When you joined ICANN, you and I had a conversation in a hallway, and we talked then about operational excellence and the failure for ICANN. The greatest single risk to me, as I said then, was a failure of operational excellence. I also, of course, as you know, spend most of my business time on internet governance outside of ICANN. And so I do really support the idea that there is a certain amount of ICANN's attention that has to deal with external threats and with the larger ecosystem. But I do think that perhaps we've been perhaps not as focused on the operational excellence, and I appreciate again your comments on that. My comment is going to go a little bit to the importance of linking to the part of the ICANN community that works outside of ICANN in these other ecosystem forums. And thank you for your speech at the World Congress on IT. I think it was very effective and helpful. And I think for many of us who work in these outside fora, it would help us a great deal to help ICANN more if we were more aligned with whatever activities in internet governance that ICANN does externally. So I'll just park that thought. And then let me go on to the Net Mundial Initiative. There's a lot of mysticism still floating around about what the two tracks of the Net Mundial Initiative will be and what ICANN's role will be in either one of those. the sooner it's possible to clearly discuss that, I think the better.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thanks for your comments and your continued, frankly, mentorship, which I appreciate. From day one, I started. And yes, we are meeting with the Brazilians and the WEF Monday. And as soon as we're clear with them as to how much we will contribute, how much they will contribute, what will we do, who's leading on what, we will immediately come back to the community with that. And my sense is this could happen as early as the late October. With that. So, and if in the meantime you have a moment, you know, I'm happy to share with you also where we stand on that after Monday.
Thanks, Fadi. I've got James next.
Thanks, Jonathan, and thanks, Fadi. Appreciate the update. I think it was one of the better ones that we've had since I've been doing this. So I do appreciate it. Was, I think, very comprehensive and very candid. Just a couple of quick comments, responses, reactions. I think everyone is very pleased to see the course adjustment on the accountability issue. I think that's refreshing, and I think that's I think moving us to a better place where everybody's pulling in the same direction. So, you know, compliments to you and Teresa and your staff on that one. I'm glad to see that you're watching the financial issue. I still believe, and I think that we expressed this in London, that the assumptions that are baked in, even with the adjustments, are still way outside of the line of the area where we feel comfortable committing to that. And I think as as the channel that touches the customer, I think we have some, we can be a canary in the coal mine for you a little bit in that regard, and give you some early indicators of where that's tracking versus plan. And with regard to internet governance, I'm just dipping a toe in the pond here myself. I'm not a veteran like Marilyn, although I keep bumping into her in all these exotic places. I can tell you that I am a little encouraged that you're pulling back from that, because that is turning into, for me, from my perspective, that's a black hole for time and money and travel. It's very difficult to determine, you know, where to apply your, you know, where to put your shoulder against that stone and where to push. I think that, it's good to know that we'll have more of you here, but I don't think that that necessarily removes the internet governance issue off the table, because I think that there are internet governance issues happening inside of ICANN that need to be examined a little more closely and addressed, and I'm thinking specifically of some trends that we're seeing with regard to government involvement, in direct involvement in policy decisions. So so just some reactions there, I'm glad that I think overall, and I don't know if maybe I'm just missing the point here, but I thought it was an excellent update. Thank you.
Thanks, James.
Thank you, James. You called it black hole. My wife has a different name for it, but it can be. It can be. And I want to assure you that we cannot walk away from any of these subjects, but we need to be balanced. And I think I personally just, and if I lose that balance, the whole organization loses the balance. So I'm sharing with you with direct and, you know, with all humility that I think we needed to adjust that balance, and we did, and we will maintain it in a way that serves the community well. As to the revenue bit, I don't know if Akram is in the room. He'll be very mad if I said what I'm about to say, but I think we need to, I want to talk to Akram about involving you all in our projections moving forward. It just seems to me that we're a little bit missing an opportunity for more direct engagement. Let me talk to him and get back to the registries and registrars. Maybe there is some smarter way we could develop this as a community. For the first quarter of this year, we are tracking on track. The revenue is on track. We have not missed it. But if I look at the trends of the new Gs, I've asked now for a regular update, which I didn't before, and I'm tracking it. I need to be very careful. So we are on top of this more than I was before. I'll speak for myself, and I want to assure you we'll be paying very close attention to that. But thank you, James, for your comments as well. And again, thanks for visiting ICANN with your family this summer. I still tell people about this, but here's James on holiday with his family, and I bumped into him in our lobby coming to visit ICANN. I thought that's amazing, and that's fantastic that it showed that we are a community. You know, you felt that part of your tour was to show them where you spend a chunk of your time, so we appreciated that.
Well, it was kind of a prolonged career day for my kids. And I tried to explain how, you know, meeting Fadi was a big deal, and then my daughter saw something on YouTube. She's like, I know that guy.
Nice idea for a holiday, James. I just want to
Are there packet tours to the ICANN office?
James, Klaus, I know you are next in the line. I just want to just capture that one point, though. I think it's really important in this issue in and around the budget, and I like the discussion that we've had. That's great. I just want to caution us collectively about having a single metric for the success or not. That's the one point I would say. And I think for all of us, there's a multitude of metrics, and we know it, and we've got an analysis to do there on the success or not. But we just got to be careful we don't publicly highlight that as the only success criterion. Klaus, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I just want to absolutely agree. Yeah. I just think that, you know, for financial planning and budgeting purposes, always be conservative.
James, and to be clear, yeah. I didn't mean to suggest you were doing that either. I'm talking to myself as much as, you know, it's a message to all of us to recognize that as a point. Klaus, I don't want to stop you.
Thank you. Fadi, great update. Thank you. I'm sorry I'm talking about internet governance, but I hope that we can help a little bit to close it. What you did and what CGI Brazil did a year ago was absolutely necessary and important. Now it's time to step back. I'm a little bit, and you talked about it, so we don't have to think. A lot of people were, including me, very, very irritated that it has to be the World Economic Forum. Now you are clearing that one up. Great. All I'm saying, trust CGI Brazil. They have the capacity, and they are great to do that. And also, and that is my point, we are always expecting ICANN to do it, or ICANN to deliver, or Fadi to deliver, or the board to deliver. I think what you can do now is confidently go back, for example, to the non-commercial sector and say, this is what I need you now to deliver. Take over, including the finance. And saying, okay, you are part of the multi-stakeholder model. That means we contribute to you and you contribute to us, and that's what we need. And I think that is a new and a better way to communicate now. Thank you.
What time do I still have? I'm out of time. I have 5 minutes. But if there are questions, I'm happy to still take them. Okay. If there are no questions, let me make sure I don't surprise you on Monday morning. Let me tell you what my message will be to the community after the opening of Secretary Pritzker. I intend to largely focus on, as you know, this is our AGM, our annual general meeting, so I'm going to do a bit of a review of all the things we did over the last 12 months, July 1st, 2014, July 1st, 2013 till June 30th, 2014. So I'll give an overview of that. I will also be speaking about areas where we're going to strengthen a little bit our maturity and our growth. So one of them I already mentioned to you, that's what we're calling the financial and organizational framework that focuses on how we add new work to ICANN. So I'll speak a little bit about that. The other area I want to talk to you about is compliance. Compliance, to date, we have 21 people in compliance spread across our operational hubs in LA, Istanbul, and Singapore. They report to Maggie Sarad. Many of you know Maggie. Maggie reports to me. I will be announcing shortly that I'm going to be strengthening that area a little bit. Now, by strengthening, I don't mean we're going to be doubling the staff. That's not what's needed. What's needed is to add two things to that area: more strategy and analytical capability, especially from a legal standpoint. And then secondly, more established escalation mechanisms when things are not working well. So I will be announcing that I'm adding to my global leadership team a new leader, a new global leader, who will be the chief officer for contractual compliance and consumer safeguards. Now, let me be clear. Consumer safeguards doesn't mean we're going to take the job of all the global consumer and you know protection agencies. That's not our job. Our job is simply to have, within the remit of ICANN, within the contract that ICANN has, attention and analytical focus on how do we ensure these safeguards are in place so that the domain industry is the industry we all want it to be. And that person, many of you know him already because he's on staff, but I'm moving him to be part of my team. His name is Alan Grogan. Alan has been working with many of you on the actual contracting. Most of the new contracts that have come into place, it was Alan's contracting team that has done them, so he understands the community, he understands the contracts. Many of the picks and the safeguards in the contracts, he made sure they're there, and he will move to my global leadership team. Maggie will report to him. Akram had announced, if you remember, a few months ago, and opened the position for a registrant kind of, that will all move in that area so that we have a more comprehensive area that looks at our obligations and our commitments to the public interest. So that, I just wanted to give you this heads up so no one is surprised, and I'm happy to address any questions on that. What else am I announcing? I think that covers the main things I'll be speaking about on Monday.
Got a couple of quick questions on then that Fadi. I've got, I think, Ron and then James.
Thank you very much, Jonathan. Thank you, Fadi. Ron Andruff, for the record, business constituency. Fadi, for a decade, we've been hearing our CEO tell us they're going to strengthen compliance. For a decade, we've cried and screamed and pounded the table and made such a fuss. And slowly, 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 we get to a point where we're staffed up. It's very encouraging to hear what you're saying with regard to actually taking it to now start doing analysis and so forth, so we actually get ahead of that curve, so instead of being behind it. One of the elements of conversation that we had this morning with the CSG and Bill and Bruce, when we had our meeting with our representatives to the board, Christina Rosette brought up a comment, and it was a very valid one. I don't know if Christine is in the room, and pardon me for speaking about what she said, but it's important to note that she, her comment was, we need to see action. We need to see teeth. And what that means simply is to say that when there is transgressions, rather than simply sending notices that may or may not get responded to, and the time lags, and we know nothing about that as a community. We're busy beavering away, doing all of the policy development that we do. We never see any real strong action taken. And it's time that we did. It's time we saw people go to jail for doing things, lose their contracts for doing things, et cetera, et cetera. We really need to see something quite serious happen there, because we've lived through 15 years of ICANN with all manner of transgressions. I mean, very, very serious ones. And they just kind of get slid off to the side. There's never any mention of it. And I would venture to say that should someone be the recipient of extremely strong actions, losing their contracts, being thrown out of the community, that would really send a signal that we'd say, oh, okay, our compliance people are doing something. But we don't feel it. We don't see it. We have no understanding of it. So I'm encouraged by what you've said. But I have to say, I need to see it before I'm going to believe it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Thank you for validating what I was feeling. And I'm sorry it took me a little time to get there. But I've been hearing this. It's been building up. And again, this is no, in any way, no disrespect or comment on what Maggie has done. Maggie has built an operationally very, very effective team. They are now handling close to 5,000 complaints a month. But that does not impress me necessarily. What I need to start seeing is what you said. I need to start seeing a more strategic, analytical, and effective way to address what these things mean. And it doesn't mean to create a police force here. This is not what we need. But what we need is thoughtful, analytical analysis that leads us to do the right things and to elevate the good players in this community, which, by the way, are the absolute majority. They are the absolute. The data clearly shows that most of the players in this sector are very, very committed, good players. But we don't have the analysis and the focus, on actually conveying this through actions, through communications, and through facts. So Alan Grogan will help me with this. And just for disclosure, Alan is one of my oldest collaborators. He joined ICANN a year and a half ago, but I've worked with Alan since the early 90s, 91 in fact. I know him very well. He is a very, very capable attorney, over 30-some years of technology and internet law, lecturer on this subject, very solid individual who has lived in the business side but also understands the importance of contractual compliance deeply. So please do meet him. I will introduce him to many of you on Monday. Take the time to bend his ear about what you've been waiting for. And I think you'll find him very thoughtful, very wise, and very responsive. So, but thank you, Ron.
Right, Fadi, I'm very mindful of your time. I know James wanted to respond, and I think I had a hand from David and Stephanie as well. But I encourage you guys to be brief because we've obviously got to wrap things.
I'll be very brief, Jonathan. Thank you. And that's that. I had some questions about just the future plans or strategies for Alan's role in that office, the registrant. Let's table all of that. We can maybe talk one-on-one, or we'll just wait and see how that plays out over the next couple of months. I just wanted to respond to Ron's intervention. I certainly see the difference. I don't know what my share of those 5,000 tickets a month are, but it's a lot, you know, and we are responding to them. We're always on the clock. And we have processes and teams to inbound and process those tickets. So, you know, if it's not happening to the bad guys, or if it's not catching enough, if there's not enough heads on pikes, you know, outside the gates of the city, I don't know what to tell you. You know, but it's certainly not coming from us, because we're working our tails off not only to do the right thing in the first place, but also to respond whenever something goes wrong. So.
And just a comment. Please help Alan shape what will make sense. So staff, just in the same posture I'm taking on accountability, we're here to serve you. We're here to serve the public interest. So we should stay focused on that and guide Alan, who will, I assure you, he is very, very much looking forward to the guidance that all of us provide him. Also, Maggie just published a very powerful new dashboard. Please look at it. It's on the contractual compliance part of the site. It's a very impressive new dashboard that she's publishing that would help us at least see the work she's doing. And I look forward to you meeting him and sharing your views.
Now, what is it when we'd say Fadi's got to go that you guys all come up to the microphone? Very briefly, we've really got to be quick. David, Stephanie.
My question was a really brief one. You mentioned new contractual enforcement mechanisms, contractual compliance enforcement mechanisms. Have you thought about community input into that? Because I assure you that many in the community are very keen to consider contractual compliance very important and are keen to help.
Yeah, and this is why I brought Alan on board, so that I have a dedicated senior leader whose job is to meet with you, understand what needs to be done, bring that to an analytical and strategic level, and then direct resources as necessary. So absolutely. I mean, this is why I'm doing this, so that we don't go into our own little ivory tower and say this is what needs to be done. No more. Absolutely no more. So by all means, please do reach out to him. You will find him to be an extremely collegial individual. Who will sit with you, learn, and apply, and direct my focus and our resources where the community needs us to.
My name is Stephanie Perrin, and I'm back at the World Economic Forum. They have been engaged in a lengthy project on redefining personal data in the Internet society. I'm wondering if they were proposing to bring that piece of work to the table in the Net Mundial discussions, and also is anyone attending their meetings, most notably the Champions meeting that was held in China last fall? NCSG, as you know, care deeply about privacy, and this is of concern.
The first part of your question, I don't know the answer. If they plan to bring that work to the initiative, I would. They're here. They're attending ICANN 51, and they and the Brazilians and ICANN will have a session on Wednesday. By all means, please pose this problem, this question to them. As to Tianjin, yes, I went to Tianjin, to China, and I attended the meeting. They held a very good session on internet governance, which I attended. It was the biggest and most attended session in Tianjin, at the WEF meeting in Tianjin. So clearly the issue is foremost. Klaus Schwab says that a good 20% of the focus of Davos this year will be on the subject. So it is clearly up there. And I think we should leverage what they do. It doesn't replace anything we do. We should just leverage it. As an example, the World Economic Forum has a unique ability to bring other industries, to bring the financial sector, to bring the industrial sector, to bring other sectors that are not typically engaged with us on these issues. So it's good. It's good that they're doing that, but it's good they're doing it there. We have our work to do here. We will support them there, but we stay focused here on our work. That's the commitment I'm making.
Absolutely. Final brief comments and questions from Phil and Christina. And then we
good morning. Philip Corwin, member of the business constituency. Thank you, Fadi. I think we're all feeling a more positive and cooperative atmosphere here, and it's very welcome. Briefly, on the World Economic Forum initiative, I think it's great to get the major corporate sector beyond the technology companies, internet companies involved in internet governance. Quickly, between now and Davos, what do you see as ICANN's involvement in planning for that, and what would be the primary, the best goal, you know, in your estimation, to come out of that meeting, aside from generally expanding the awareness of internet governance issues to the broad corporate business community?
It's just the latter. If that's all that happens, that the corporate community and the senior political leaders who are there understand that we have a distributed multi-stakeholder internet ecosystem that is working. If they just get that, so they are not directing their people to head to the General Assembly in 2015 to say, take it over, have the UN take it over. We just need them to be aware and to get business as well as government leaders who attend there. I spent a good 2 years to just get to Rousseff and Ilves. At the Davos meeting, they will have Modi, they will have the President of China, they will have Merkel, they will have Renzi, and the list is huge. And they are all committed to attend the session on internet governance. So it's good. If that platform is used for that, great. All the power to them, you know. But it's mostly awareness. I frankly do not think at this stage that it will be more than that, but that's valuable in itself, you know, because if these guys are aware, I think it makes our life easier, Phil.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan, for indulging me. I just wanted to follow up on Ron's comment that although I very much appreciate his taking the theme that I had raised this morning in a closed meeting, that at no point did I say anything about sending anyone to jail. Because I know that there are people in this room who would believe that I did. but the bigger point is that... I know, it's all over. The bigger point is really that from the CSG perspective, it seems inevitable that with this many new registries, that at some point in time, one of them will engage in conduct that merits termination of the contract. Just it's as a practical matter. And the point that we were trying to make is that it's going to be very important to those business interests that don't participate in ICANN, but are watching the implementation of the new GTLD program, for them to be able to see that when it really comes time to it, that compliance has got, for lack of a better description, the political will and fortitude to take the action that is really necessary. And we're very encouraged by Alan's new position, but we did just want to underscore that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Christina, and thanks also for your help and guidance through this. I will leave you. I just want to tell you, I feel that we're entering a new page. I remember starting at ICANN and saying it's a new season. I really feel this is the new season. It's starting. You know, so with calm and confidence and optimism, let's build this together and let's show the world we're ready for this. I'm committed to it, and I'm committed to work with you on it, and I ask for your help in the months ahead. You know, I know there's often, you know, as in any community, including my own family, you know, a little cynicism, a little, you know, but let's show to each other the commitment to the public interest to making ICANN what it should be through actions, as Ron said, through actions, through real work. And when I told people in Istanbul we're going to stand down and let the community lead on accountability, even good people told me, fine, we appreciate your words, let's see what you come back with. And they're right. They're right to say that. So we're showing without question that we are ready for the new season by being aligned with you. And I want to assure you once again that I'm now absolutely committed to the concept that it's not how much I get done or how much staff gets done, it's how much all of us are together on everything we do. Because not only will we be better off, but we will have better results. I believe that we will have better results. So have a wonderful ICANN 51. I'm happy you're all here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Fadi. So just to, we'll close that session, and just to set expectations on where we are with the agenda and where I suggest we go from here. We had a placeholder or a slot here for further IANA stewardship transition and accountability discussions. My sense is that there's not a whole lot more to cover on that now, and there's other evolving groups and activities that are going to take place there. I know Francisco is here to talk with us on name collision. And then the next session that was meant to be a kind of working lunch session was on the EWG final report and expected next steps. I'm not even sure we can take that very far at this stage, given that there's a proposed board working group, board GNSO working group to start to hatch out the next steps. So my suggestion to you is we move on with name collision now and then give ourselves a moderately decent lunch break of 30 to 40 minutes where we can sit outside, get some fresh air, and talk amongst one another. Any comments or questions with respect to that? Everyone happy with that approach?
Seconded.
Okay, so just to capture them, we're going to go straight into name collision now as a session. Once we're done with name collision, we'll have an earlier than scheduled lunch, and it won't be a working lunch, and we'll prepare the room for the board. And so let's go straight on then with Francisco. Right, so if you can just clarify that we've got audio, we're ready to commence the recording at the back. Are we good to go with the recording? Thank you very much. That's great. All right. Welcome, Francisco. I know this is a if I could have your attention in the room, please. Thanks. So I welcome Francisco Arias from ICANN staff to talk with us about the latest updates on the name collision and the prospective impacts on policy work in the GNSO. Over to you, Francisco.
Thank you, Jonathan. Hello, everyone. So some of you may be familiar with the work that has been going on regarding name collisions. This is a slightly different or a potential slightly different track regarding name collision. If we could go to the next slide, please. So
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can we? I can't hear you.
If you could continue your conversations outside the room, please leave the doors closed. And if there's any private conversations we had, if you could have them outside the room, please. Thank you, Francisco. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Hello again. So this is before going into the matter, I just want to give a brief description of what NEN collision is, a simplified version of it. So NEN collisions happen when there is someone using a name that is not delegated in the public DNS, and for some reason they leak, let's say, the queries to the public DNS. Next slide, please. For example, in a corporate network, it's very common that, or it's fairly common that they could have some internal name, and they have, of course, mobile users. And when they go to the outside, to their homes or hotels or any other public Wi-Fi, they connect and they intend to use the same name, but only this time they are querying, they are sending that query to the public DNS. So next slide, please. Could you go back? So problems ensue when the name is delegated in the public DNS. So people, instead of going to the website in their corporate network, for example, they will go to the name in the public DNS. Now, next slide, please. Background on the work that has been done so far regarding NEN collisions. You may be familiar. Last year in October, before a delegation of the first new ETLDs, the new ETLD program committee of the ICANN board adopted what is called the new ETLD collision occurrence management plan that describes a few measures that will have to be taken place before delegation of new ETLDs could happen. And one of the elements that the plan described was the creation of the next element that appears in the second bullet, which is the NEN collision occurrence framework that updated the measures that new ETLDs have to take, have to implement regarding NEN collision. Like I said, that second element was adopted by the NGPC just last 30 July. Next slide, please. The 30 July NGPC resolution includes four elements. One of those is the one that I mentioned, adopting the framework. That's the first one. Second, it directs the undertaking a consultation regarding RPM, right protection mechanics requirements for the SLDs, the second level domain names, in the block lists that were recorded in the clearing house and some other conditions. This consultation is going on. The public comment period, I think, finalized just a couple days ago, and we are processing the comments. There is more information on this in a session that is on Wednesday, where Karen and I are going to talk about NEN collision, and she's going to give an update on the RPM consultation. The most important item for the discussion here is there is a number three item in the resolution regarding considering potential policy work within GNSO regarding a long-term plan to manage NEN collisions. The other item in the 30 July resolution was about sharing the information and best practices with CCTLDs, which we have been done, and now the recommendation we are sharing with CCTLDs is that they do as the new ETLDs. And we had the first two items of that with the first two IDNs still list that passed the evaluation a few weeks ago. Next slide, please. Next. So the current work has been focused only on the 2012 round of GTLDs. There is also a limitation on the measures. Most of them cease at the 2 years after delegation of the GTLD. And also there are no measures for GTLDs that were delegated in previous rounds. So all the previous 18 GTLDs, they don't have any measures for NEN collision. Remember that NEN collision is not an issue that appears only when you delegate a new TLD. This happens all the time when there is, let's say, recycling of names. Once a name that was for a registrant, the name gets deleted for whatever reason, and then someone else takes that name, then that recycling could end up causing name collisions. It also happens when, for example, adopted names from certain misguided documentation. There are a few very famous cases that have led to name collisions caused by documentation by certain companies that I'm not going to mention. But they are very famous, and they were recommending people to use names under a very well-known GTLD, a legacy GTLD. And in the JS study, one of the studies that were done for the new ETLD name collision measures, they reported the extent of that name collision occurrence in legacy GTLDs. That led to a recommendation in that report to explore, they call it domain drop caching and the associated data feeds. That I think the general term would be that that recycling of names in GTLDs that have been long delegated and whether there is the need to do something about it. Next slide, please. So with that in mind, I'm following the direction of the NGPC, we are here, and we have we provided a briefing paper that hopefully some of you may have seen. In that paper, we describe a few questions for your consideration regarding this potential policy work. First is what if any measures should be taken into account for name collision, for managing the name collision risk for future rounds of new ETLDs. So what comes in the future, should there be any name collision measures there? Second is whether we need collision measures, name collision risk management, risk mitigation measures for the current round of new ETLDs beyond their 2-year anniversary of delegation. And third, whether there is a need for such measures for GTLDs delegated prior to the 2012 round, the so-called legacy GTLDs. Next slide. Related to that topic is whether there should be any safeguards regarding the domain drop caching practice and similar services under GTLDs. This is referring to GTLDs in general, not any particular round. And there is, of course, the question on whether we need further data on the current effective measurements and the effectiveness of the current mitigation measures or some other aspect before a decision can be made. Next slide, please. Also, given the nature of the issue at hand, where if any policy work is decided to be taken on this topic, whether the participation of ESAC in some form will be needed in order to inform or help with this work. And finally, the last question we put in front of you is whether policy development is the best approach to develop these measures, or if there is any other method by which this work could be done. And I believe that's the last slide. Yes, it is. Okay. With that, are there any questions?
Go back to it if you could keep that other slide up.
Could you go back to the previous slide?
So any questions or comments on this? There's the three different questions for... to the floor, Mike, then Jim.
Thank you. Jim Baskin, member of the business constituency. Been following the domain collision analysis and work that's been going on for quite a number of months now, and one question about the status of the report, the semi-final report, I forget exactly how they referred to it, came out at the last meeting or just before, and it still was redacted. It did not have certain information about the data that was used to come to their conclusions. It's been another 3 months, and I haven't seen anything. Maybe I missed it, but I'd like to know if there's really something as serious as they say, and I believe that it is a serious thing, but I don't know what it is, that the amount of time that's gone by is well beyond established norms for dealing with supposedly very critical issues of the nature that they appear to be talking about. Where do we stand?
Yeah, I can answer that. The reason why the updated version of the final report from GIS has not been published is because we're still waiting on the affected vendor to release the patch in the affected software. The timeline we have now is that they hope to have it ready by the end of the year, but they're still working on it. So as soon as that is ready, we could then start talking about releasing the updated version of the final report. We are following the published policy in ICANN regarding responsible disclosure of vulnerabilities.
Okay. But as I said, I think many other organizations that deal with these kinds of discoveries and disclosure really only give the affected parties maybe 6 months before they force things by disclosing more information. But thank you for your update.
So just to clarify, it depends really on what is the vulnerability that is there. And there are certainly different practices on regarding disclosing vulnerabilities. Some parties just release it immediately as they know, and some others try to coordinate with the affected vendor so that there is a patch. So we're trying to be responsible here by not releasing information that could be used to attack third parties. Thank you.
Edmund, go ahead.
Edmund Chung here. So, first of all, I think in terms of moving forward, I do think this to take it as a policy development is appropriate. I think this issue obviously is there's a strong technical element to it, security and technical element to it. We've had all those the many studies and reports, and we can base that on it. And I do think there is a policy element because how we deal with it, especially in future rounds, is going to have a very big impact on how the actors that will engage in the second in the next future rounds as well. Because right now, if we use the same implementation, for example, I think it opens up a lot of potential abuses to these type of issues into the future. And in terms of ESSAC, obviously, we should invite them to participate in the discussion. In what format? It could be a joint group. It could be that they just participate. I don't think that's such an important thing. And I think it's ESSAC decision also to whether they would be a joint group. One thing though, you mentioned raise the flag just now. You mentioned about the issue about drop catch. There is a consensus policy in deletion, the domain expiry policy. So, and in those discussion, I think the issue was explored quite extensively as well. So there is provision for that that type of issue. So I'm not sure we should reopen that discussion unless we are revisiting that particular consensus policy.
Thanks. I got that more like a comment rather than a question. Or is there a question for me?
It's the first part is a comment, which I think I think the council should think about taking it on. I know it's on the council agenda. The second one is kind of a question. Are you asking for us to reopen the expired domain consensus policy?
I guess we're relying the measures from the JAS report, where the information they provide, they are recommending that this topic be reopened. I guess that would be the way to say it.
Philip?
Yeah, good morning. Philip Corwin, member of the business constituency. And following up on the subject of drop catching, the practice of allowing potential registrants to acquire expired domains has been around for years. I have never heard of any association at the incumbent TELDs of that creating any name collision problems, so I'm surprised to hear. So I have several questions. One is this JAS report that recommends looking at drop catching. Is that available yet? Second, is the reason that it's recommending that something arising from the new TLD program, because we've never seen a name collision problem from drop catching in the past? And third, are there any mention of what specific measures might have in the creators of that report might have in mind in regard to drop catching practices? I think this is a subject, and let me just comment, I think this is a subject that reopens something on which there is consensus, and I think if there's a recommendation to get into it, it needs to be gotten into very carefully with lots of opportunity for community comment from registries, registrars, domain investors, everybody involved with the drop catch market now. So I'd welcome any response to those questions.
Yes, so the JAS report that I'm referring was published on June. Don't remember the exact date, but it's a reference in the name collision resolution of 30 July. I can give you the link later. I don't have it here in the presentation. Regarding the measures, I don't think the JAS report recommends any specific measures in regards to drop caching. It only recommends that they should be studied and to see if there are any measures that should be taken in that regard.
Okay, and has there been any evidence that the present operation of drop catching in any way has created name collision issues? Is there a reason for the suggestion that it be reopened and explored?
Right. I think there is some reasoning on that regard in the JAS report. Most of the issues that are described there, or at least some of them, are related to name collision under legacy ETLDs, not new ETLDs.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, I have a question myself as well. I think these are very excellent questions for us to consider. However, to avoid drifting into the realm of pure speculation, we would need data, i.e. what cases have there been, what effect did those measures that have been implemented by the board and by the applicants that have then gone the alternative path delegation and implemented various measures to prevent any occurrence of name collision harm. What effect did these measures have? Positive effect, negligible effect. You say we have two large cases of large well-known companies that have gotten problems, seen problems with name collision. But were those problems exacerbated by the measures that have been taken? Were they reduced by those measures? So any data that you can give us is the precondition for us to consider any further action or a reduction of action or anything that might lead into the future.
Yes, point taken. Regards the data points that I can offer to you right now, it's as you may know, we have an end collision harm reporting measure. This is going to be on the Wednesday presentation. But we have had so far 13 confirmed reports of name collision from different organizations and individuals. And as Patrick mentioned yesterday in his update to you, there are at least two big companies that decided not to send a report to ICANN, but we know that they had some name collision issue that is of unknown nature, let's say. Of these 13 reports that we have received, none of them creates an issue regarding human life danger or anything like that. We also know that there has been some other reports in the web. We have seen reports out there, and we have not received those reports in the mechanism that we put for the community to report those. And I have a few other numbers that I cannot remember right now. but they will be provided in the presentation on Wednesday.
Thank you, that's helpful. Maybe just a little small follow-up. Were those reports that you have received directed at the availability of a TLD in the root zone, i.e. did the disruptions occur because of the TLD becoming active or due to individual domain names within that TLD?
It was related to SLDs or let's say names under the TLD. Yes, we don't have any report of issues created by a dotless name, let's say.
Okay, thank you. I think we're all looking forward to the report on Wednesday.
Jim Baskin, again from the BC. Just for clarification, I think that this drop catching doesn't really, in my mind, clarify what exactly we're talking about. We're talking around things. We're not giving not necessarily a real example of one that has been found, but what is it? In my mind, it sounds like company XYZ, I hope there's no real company XYZ, that has a domain, that had a domain in .com. LMN.com. Is there anybody that has that? Okay. Not yet, but you will tomorrow. Okay. LMN.com is doing business, and they have people logging in, and they're doing business, and people are, you know, it could be banking, it could be whatever, and then LMN goes out of business or decides that they're going to drop their TLD, not their TLD, their SLD, and go out of business or whatever. Someone else registers LMN.com and then in some way impersonates LMN for people that had been doing business with them or wanted to do business with them. And because of that, the people who are trying to get to LMN.com are reaching someplace that's doing possibly bad things with the interaction with this customer. Is that what this drop catching is all about?
Yes, I guess it's something like that. Someone reuses the name of a previous company or individual, and they, in theory, could take advantage of that to impersonate the previous registrant.
So to me, that's not exactly the kind of collision that we've been worried about. It's really more of a phishing or fraud thing that is, yes, it's related because people aren't going where they think they're going, but it's not because of something that's been active out there or been used by people in a non-active TLD, and suddenly the fact that it's active is causing these collisions. Not a totally separate issue, but I wanted to be clear that we're talking about the reuse of a TLD and potential bad deeds that are being done by the person who has re-registered the SLD.
That's a very good point. Name collisions don't. If a name collision happens, it doesn't necessarily mean that there is a security issue there. Name collision could happen, and that could mean simply, as you said, that someone is now the legitimate owner of that name and they want to use it for their own purposes. They are not intended to do fraud or anything like that. But in both cases, legacy ETLDs and new ETLDs, the problem is when there is a bad actor behind that new name in the public DNS. If there is a bad actor, they could take advantage of that name collision. That's really the issue behind this.
James, go ahead.
Respectfully, that is not a name collision issue. That's something, that's a problem, but that's way outside the scope of this particular issue, in my opinion. That's possibly grounds for UDRP or a lawsuit. I think that the only mention I see in the Jazz report of dropcatch or expired names is to applaud the ERRP as an example of where controlled interruption does work and gets the attention of people who have maybe lost the use of their name. But I think that really what we're doing in the context of this discussion about dropcatch is we're making the case for SSL certificates. So to make sure that you're dealing with the party that you think you are. I don't see it as a function of name collision. Sorry.
Do you want to answer to that, or should I go to the next member of the queue?
No, I mean, the only thing I will say is technically is the same workings there, but I get the sentiment.
I'm sorry, it's not though. Respectfully, it's not the same, even the same category of problem. Name collision is that there is something that's happening on internal networks, and that we've inserted something into the public DNS that resembles what's happening on internal networks that was already in place. This is, I mean, you're talking about, I get it, we're talking about a false positive on a DNS resolution. I think that's what they share in common, but there I think the similarities end, both on how we arrive there and what we should do to be fixing it. They're completely different situations, in my opinion.
Just one more data point on that. If you look at the SAC report, I think it's 62 or 60, 66 probably. I can remember the number. One of the advisories they did on name collision, they present a more technically strict definition than the basic slides that I showed there. What they are saying in name collision is whenever someone is trying to access or is using a name and they go to the a different party where they intended to go. So that will cover name collision in a more general term than what the example in the slides is.
Absolutely correct. And that definition would also include cache failures of resolvers that are giving you stale data on an IP. I mean, that is such a broad definition as to be almost unactionable.
I would agree with James that it's a... I mean, name collision, I thought, is where two different resolution systems produce different results, not when it has been transferred within the... Something's happened within one resolution system that is unexpected.
Much better, more succinctly put. Thank you, Dave.
Okay, next in the queue, I have Steve Delianco, but I would like to go to the microphone first.
Thanks. I'm Eileen Pruis. So there's some confusion about what name collision is, so I'd like to try to answer Jim's question with a real-life example. But first I want to say, if we're worried about drop catching causing name collision, you carry that down two steps, that means we never re-register a name that was once registered previously. So it's not, drop catching is not the problem, it's will this name again surface sometime. So trying to deal with name collision through drop catching is that's not going to work. A real-life example of name collision would be when we, donuts, put one of our TLDs into wildcarding. We heard about a problem where a network administrator had set up their network so whenever anybody inside their network queried a name, it went out to the internet and said, is this name here or not? They got an NXD, non-existing domain name, error back, which then signaled their system to go back inside their internal network to find that information. It's just really bad network configuration. So name collision is, the controlled interruption is working to expose bad configurations. That's an example of a name collision, not somebody buying a domain name later that had once been bought before.
Thank you. Steve?
Steve DelBianco with NetChoice. On Volker's point for Wednesday, Francisco, it would be useful to hear not just data, since there isn't much data yet, but to have richly described case studies, such as what SAC brought up yesterday with .prod, registries doing exactly what they're supposed to do, wildcarding, and to the extent you can, let's describe whether we think it's working in just a case study. Since it's too early to have comprehensive data, it would benefit for you to reveal everything you can about actual studies.
Thanks.
Yes, point taken. Yep.
Okay, are there any more questions, comments? Then I would like to thank you for coming over and giving us this report. We are looking forward to the session on Wednesday. I think it's 10 to 11:15, right?
I think so. Very quickly, yes, 10 to 11:15, you're right. Thank you.
Okay. Then I yield the floor back to Jonathan.
Thanks, Francisco. Thank you very much for bringing that to our attention. All right, so I think that more or less concludes our morning sessions. As I said a little earlier, we can take the opportunity to have a lunch break now. There are tables outside, as you know, from yesterday. For the meeting with the board, which will take place promptly at 1, and I'll take any questions and input before we break up, but which will take place promptly at 1, if we could just make sure that the table is only occupied by councillors to make sure that there's a space and opportunity for the ICANN board to join us. I think there's something like 40 seats around the table. We don't have a coffee break scheduled this afternoon, but when we do go across to the GAC to meet with the GAC at 2:30, there's a half-hour gap between when we break here and we go across to the GAC, so there'll be an opportunity to get coffee over there. The meeting, I understand, is in a tent outside adjacent to the swimming pool. Any questions or comments or points I've forgotten, Avery?
Thank you. I just wanted to let people know about an additional meeting that's being held, and if I could use this moment to talk about that. A meeting has been scheduled, but it's not on the schedule. That's basically covering a human rights perspective on ICANN's policies and procedures. So I wanted to let people know about that. It's Wednesday at 12:15 to 13:45 in the Encino Room. So it won't be on the schedule. I've tweeted about it. There may be other notifications. I just wanted to make sure people knew about it. So that's human rights perspective and ICANN's policies and procedures. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. Any other comments or questions before we break for lunch? And please be prepared to be back in session at promptly at 1 o'clock. Thank you.